Hey, everybody.
Pookie's over here talking.
She went, yeah, she ran past and went, brr. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. So, hey, everybody.
Trying to turn the damn chat on so I can see. It's not showing me anything in the chat. This thing's fucked up.
Well, yeah. Must be you.
YouTube's fucked up.
Mine's working.
I don't know what's
maybe
up with this.
Maybe YouTube just doesn't like you in particular.
I'm going to have to, like... Anyway... Go ahead and start a show, Jenny.
All right. See Camp Guy in there. See you Zach can. In there. Zach says, what's up, guys? My depressed and sore ass is sitting in the Atlanta airport. Our trip kind of went tits up, so I'm going home alone. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, because I was going to say, we don't usually see you on the matinee shows. Maybe you do show up others, but I always kind of feel like you mostly just came for the main shows. But, so you want to talk about Dark Man 3?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say something.
What's that?
Because the stream has been so good, you might be able to raise the graphics level on a thing. Because I'm looking at it on the smart TV, man, and we look like shit. Just look blocky. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess I'll
not
do
right
it.
Now, but I'm
yeah,
just saying.
Yeah, obviously I can't do
later,
it right now.
Later we can
well, just remind me and I'll do it before the main show tomorrow.
Right.
It's just...
Because we're on a LAN cable now, so...
Yeah,
the stream's been good since that LAN cable.
Yeah, we haven't really had any problems.
No problem.
Since I got that, like I said, $15.
I think we can raise the resolution.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I don't really want to, like, tempt fate or anything.
Just raise it like one level.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't like, lower it all that much, but I did lower it down some. So last night, you know, if you've been here the last couple days, we've been doing the Dark Man trilogy. Because Shudder just added it a couple days ago. Or a couple weeks ago, rather. And last night we watched Dark Man 3, Die, Dark Man, Die.
Yeah.
Now, I think I mentioned... I'm not sure if this was on the Wikipedia page for Dark Man 2, but it didn't mention it on Dark Man 3. I heard that Dark Man 3 was actually shot before Dark Man 2, but they released the one that became Dark Man 2, the one with Larry Drake in it, in 1995, and then this one was released in 1996. So I don't know if that's entirely true or not, but that's what I read. It doesn't mention it on the on the Wikipedia page for part 3, but it does on part 2.
Hmm.
You know?
It just wasn't ready in time?
So I'm not really sure. I don't. And honestly, now that I'm seeing it, I do kind of feel like... Because I was watching part 3 with that in mind, and I was kind of like, I can see how this was shot more, like, right after the second one.
Like, it felt more like a part 2.
It felt more like a part 2, and then the third one was just kind of like, hey, here's this guy we thought was gone all this time, and then he came back, and then he dies in a big explosion at the end. So you could kind of see, like, how they did it, but then for whatever reason, they decided to switch the order, but that's okay. It doesn't really
matter.
Because
this one ends like the story's just beginning. So, watching them...
Because it ends similar to the first one, where it's just kind of like, you know, he saves a woman and, like, a family, and then he's like, well, here's my fucked up looking face, I gotta go fight crime, I can't, like, involve anybody else in my bullshit.
Yeah.
And he just, like, goes off into the sunset. So, whereas the second one, like, actually ends with the bad guy, like, getting blown up and shit like that. So.
I was, you know, yesterday I was saying, you know, usually part 3 sucks, and I was expecting this one to be pretty bad. It's good. I think it's as good as the first one.
I actually liked this one a bit better than the second one.
Yeah, I liked it better than
the second one's good too.
Yeah.
And I did like that Larry Drake was in the second one, like, because he made a really good villain, and I like that they had him and they focused on him in the second one, as I mentioned yesterday. But this one feels more like the first one in the sense that it's focused more on Darkman and on his kind of, like, emotional journey. Yeah. There's a bad guy, there's a similar kind of plot going on, but it actually is more focused on him and on his work, and he's in it most of the time rather than it focusing. It does focus on the bad guys a little bit, but...
It's Darkman, the man. That's it. But the story drew me in a lot better. Than part two. Part two is just kind of like a free for all fucking batshit crazy. It's good, but it's just it's insane. This one's a little more chilled out, and it kind of pulls you more into the Dark Man character. This might have been. I think this is supposed to be part two.
I think it initially was supposed to be part two, and I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that because I liked it a lot too. Yeah. I actually liked it quite a bit more than I was expecting to.
Okay, everything is consistent. It's the same quality. It's the same basic tone and motif. It's consistent. There's no big drop off in quality or anything from Dark Man 2, and really not even really a big drop off from 1. 1 has some of that Evil Dead feeling to it. You know what I mean? But this so does this one. It's close. They're all.
Yeah, I mean, the first one had a little bit more of a comic book sensibility to it.
Yeah.
Whereas 2 and 3 were kind of more straightforward action movies with just like a little sprinkling of comic book stuff on top.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a different director. Sam Raimi was again the executive producer on this, but it's the same director, Brad Vermay, as the second one, who I guess was like a TV guy, he was a TV director, cinematographer, something like that. I did like that they kept. Even like through all three movies, even though I'm sure when they made the first one, I don't think they were expecting it to be a trilogy necessarily. But I like that all three movies had like pretty much the exact same opening credits.
Yeah.
Like I really liked music. Had the same font, same. Yeah. Now the original movie was Danny Elfman, right? Did the score, and obviously he didn't come back for the second or third one. So they got like another composer that used some of his themes. But you can't really tell, like I said, it's still a good score and it's still in the same vein as the Danny Elfman one.
Another thing I noticed is that with this one, the first Dark Man from Dark Man 1 is Liam Neeson, but he couldn't come back because he had to go do Schindler's List and stuff. When part 2 came out, the new Dark Man, I didn't really warm up to him. He kind of seemed kind of like he had been shooed in. But this one, I got the feeling for that actor doing this character. I accepted him as Darkman. That's why I was thinking that this might have been supposed to be part two. Had it been part two, I think I could have, I don't know, digested that new actor as being Darkman first. But
because
now
he's in it more.
He's in it more.
Like, because in the second one.
Yeah.
Like I say, he's in it, obviously, but they focused more on Larry Drake and on
and he's good.
Durant.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good in it, you know? He does look like that good-looking dude that my ex-wife used to lust over.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane. She's looking at his lips. She's always looking at his
he
lips.
He does look creepily. Occurred to me before until I was like looking at his face in the Darkman movies. I'm like, God damn, that dude looks almost exactly like Billy Zane.
Yeah. Tiffany was sitting there fucking, boy, he's got some nice abs. Damn. Fuck it, get over it. I was getting that ab jealousy. And shit. Damn. But he's good in it. His acting's good. He fucking pulls the character off in this third one a lot better than he did, I think, in the second. And I don't think it's because I warmed up to him. I think it's because he's got a bigger role, so you can actually see him more. And he's more of a badass than Liam Neeson. He gives off more of a threatening vibe to
him. He's more intense, I guess. Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, yeah, he's the good guy, but he's got a lot of dark elements in him. You know, kind of like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
And so you're wondering, well, maybe this dude might blow and do something bad. You know, you don't know. But they had a couple good angles in this. Instead of ray guns, they have this drug dealer guy who's hooked up with this hot scientist doctor chick who's smoking hot fucking 90s haircut and shit and fucking... Turns out she's making super steroids.
Yeah.
So, my ears
so of course,
up.
Yeah, I'm Tom's like super on board.
What?
He's like, oh, I want some of those.
Yeah, I want some of those. And all kinds of fucking steroid fun happens. You know what I mean?
All kinds of steroids.
Fucking right. Jenny's like, yep. Yep. And those dudes all start fighting each other.
Yeah, they're all just like smacking each other around.
Smacking each other.
And then like I'm over there going, you know, the main crime boss guy, he's probably just kind of like, can you guys actually do something useful or you're just going to like stand here and like beat the crap out of each other?
Right, yeah. And the boss is going like, boss is looking at his gang, you know, and he's like, oh, all these other gangs, you know what I mean? Any old weakling can just pick up a pistol. It's a sign of weakness. You know, he goes, with us, it's about strength. It's something you can do with your fists. And they're out beating motherfuckers up and shit. They had guns too. But, yeah. But well,
yeah, you need more.
They could take a lot of. They could take a lot of shots. They could get shot up. They could fucking super strength. They could match Darkman in his strength. All kinds of stuff happen. So it's a lot more fun than the ray gun angle, I think. It's more creative.
Yeah.
It allows for more fun in games. I thought the ray gun gag in part two was kind of samey. You know what I mean? Kind of predictable. Yeah, let's make a ray gun.
Yeah.
You know, let's make super steroids. And they made the super steroids on the special adrenaline that Darkman could put out through his fucking hypothalamus gland. What was it?
Yeah, wasn't or something it? Like that.
Yeah, they got it out of him.
Well, yeah, I kind of like how they did that because what ends up happening in this one is that you have Darkman. Now, I will say that they reused some of the footage that was in the second one. Not a lot, but it was mostly just the footage of him, like, on his little train car, like, going down to his lair or whatever. And him, like, taking off his face and, like, hanging it on the coat rack and all that. And, but I was just kind of like, oh, hey, they reused this from the last movie. But then I had to, like, think, well, this was back in the 90s, and it wasn't like people nowadays that, like, sit and binge, like, three or four movies or shows at one time. So it's like it might have been a year or two between you seeing one and the other, so you probably wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was that. So what they did... They have him still working on his skin thing, which still melts after 99 minutes, so he's still trying to, like, get through that barrier. And then he meets, you know, the hot doctor.
Yeah.
Who...
Dude's cheating on his wife with him.
Yeah, well, yeah, you don't find out that later, because you have, like, just like in the other ones, you have, like, the bad guy gang. Now, the bad guy in this is named Rooker. And he's, like, a drug dealer. He's played by Jeff Fahey, who was in a fuck ton of stuff. God damn. He was in, like, so many movies and so many TV shows. I remember him from Psycho 3, and he was in that terrible Lawnmower Man, that Stephen King adaptation that Stephen King sued to have his name taken off of. He was in that.
Yeah, okay, when he says drug dealer, we're not talking about a street-level drug dealer. He's more, he's like a rich guy, played piano, and then... You know,
he's all cultured and shit.
All cultured and all scientific and shit. He's a dick, though, all right?
So he's a mega dick.
He's more kind of like a drug lord, not really a drug dealer. But he's got an army of fucking just white dudes who really, you look at them, they're not too threatening, but he puts them on them fucking roids and they get fucking crazy. It's good. It's a good angle. I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, because what he figured out, because the hot doctor approaches Darkman. At first, you think she's a good guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, hey, I was one of the doctors that was, you know, in the first movie, like, when they fixed you. And we couldn't figure out, because Tom was like, well, is she supposed to be, like, Jenny Agutter's character, like, from the first one? I was like, well, not necessarily. She could have just been, like, another doctor that was there, or she could have just heard about it somewhere else and just lied her ass off. I think she lied, and I don't think she was there.
Because she lied about everything else.
Yeah, but so basically she said, oh, I was one of the doctors, so I know that you have super strength, and I also know that you can't feel any pain, and I've developed this thing where you can get some of your pain back. And, or some of your, you know, some of your feeling back. And so she seems super nice and everything. So he lets her do it. But it turns out that she's like a stone cold thunder cunt.
Yeah,
and man, like, and basically is like implants this thing in the back of his head.
Yeah.
And then she has like essentially an agonizer where she can like go pachish and like make him feel all this pain like from far away.
Yeah.
So there's that. So she's like, and we extracted like all of your juices and we're going to make this super steroid with it. So then we can inject it to all our thugs and then they'll be super strong.
Right.
And then they can smack you around.
And then they were going to sell it to professional sports athletes, though, too, so they could win all these games.
Yeah.
So it was going to be a big commercial thing. So it wasn't just the... But they were going to use the gang as the test bed.
Yeah.
As the test subject.
Yeah, so they were just kind of like... And it worked.
They got fucking
Like
big.
I said, they were all just like slapping each other around.
They didn't get big. They just got real strong and real mean.
And they looked like they were all tweaked out all the time.
Yeah, they'd be all tweaked
out. And they just wanted to like pull people's heads off and whatnot. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like you.
Yeah. As soon as they juice them up, a few hours later, they're out there just slapping each other around and beating each other up. And they're, okay, break it up. And then they just shake it off like it wasn't even happening. And they're, okay. And they go to work.
I really did like that angle, though. But I liked, too, that they also had the angle of the drug lord, Jeff Fahey. He also has a wife and a daughter who are actually just, like, completely innocent people.
Yeah, they're
and
good people.
And he's, like, just a total fucking shitheel to them.
Yeah.
And so I like, too, that they had that sort of, like, emotional depth to it, because Darkman sees how he treats his family.
Yeah.
And is like, you know, he's this good-looking rich dude, and he has, like, a really nice wife and a really nice daughter, and he's like, and I look all fucked up and everything, and I could never have that.
Right.
So it's like, and, you know, you don't even know how to treat them. So he kind of gets obsessed with, like,
the family.
Rescuing them.
Yeah, he's wearing the husband's mask.
Yeah.
And he impersonates them. He, like, enjoys family life through there. But he's, like, cool to them.
Yeah,
and the family doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Because that's what I'm saying.
That's not the way he really is.
I was like, if he turned up in the house, because I'd be like, the wife would be like, why aren't you being a dick? Usually you're such an asshole. Yeah. Why are you being nice? What's the matter with you?
That was a great element to the story, and I really would have liked this to been movie two.
Yeah.
It would have been made a lot more sense for this to be part two than part three.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think,
This was part three.
I think it, or part two.
Part two, I mean, yeah.
I think it was supposed to be. But it was just, I don't know why.
Because it makes sense that The Return of Duran is actually movie three, because then the series goes out with a bang.
Exactly. That's right. What I was saying.
And you hadn't seen Durant in a while.
Yeah.
So I think the order is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, it's weird because there's quite a lot of information about the first Darkman, obviously, because it's fucking Sam Raimi. But since the second two went direct to video, there's not really a lot of info about them. Like, even the Wikipedia page is, like, just nothing. It has, like, a plot synopsis, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I mean, I do kind of know that they did switch the order, but I don't know why. I don't know if it had something to do with maybe this one wasn't done, or
probably
it's
not,
like,
ready yet.
Or it wasn't ready, so it's like, well, we have this other one in the can, because it looks like they kind of shot them maybe around the same time.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. And like I said, they do actually kind of reuse a little bit of footage, not a lot.
Yeah.
They actually use some footage from the first movie as well, but it's mostly kind of like that when he has those rage freakouts and they kind of do like the explosions and like everything going red and skulls and shit like that. So they do use that a few times, like to show when he's like wigging out.
I will say that having seen all of them now, I will give the series my star of approval. this is a good series. Imagine if The Evil Dead was a superhero cartoon movie,
but not as cartoonish as Evil Dead.
But it's like a superhero movie made by the dude that did Evil Dead. It has that kind of
with a little like side order of Universal Monster,
almost like Phantom of the Opera, or something like that. Little hints of RoboCop to me. It felt like it. Kind of the sci-fi angle. Kind of felt a little bit like RoboCop and Batman.
Well, RoboCop had a similar thing in the sense that it was a dude that got all blowed up and then like they brought him back like as a cyborg, and he still could remember his old life and like you know, had like a desire for that, and it's like kind of tragic.
Right.
So yeah, Darkman has that too, and that's what I kind of liked about this one, is that it had that element. Like, he wasn't being like a super creepy stalker or anything, but he seemed like genuinely upset that this drug lord had this wife and daughter that were actually really nice, and
he
was just like basically really abusive to them.
Yeah.
And so he was just kind of like trying to get them away, because he started to think, well, maybe they're in danger, which actually does turn out to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like thinking, well, I have to get him out of there. So he used like various,
I think I'm going to actually buy this as a 3-movie set. I would own this.
Yeah, I think it does. I think Shout Factory put him out.
It's worthy of owning.
A couple years back.
Yeah, it's worthy of owning. You know, if it comes in a nice package or maybe a little poster with it or something. It's just a good series. I respect it now.
Well, I like that it didn't really... I mean, obviously the first one's the best one, but it's like, I like that the other two didn't really dip that much in quality. They're still...
about the same.
Both of them are still, like, totally worth watching.
Yeah.
And I was actually surprised that the third one...
was better.
Was actually, like, I liked it a little bit better than the second one. Yeah. Like I said, I like Larry Drake a lot in the second one, and I liked kind of the plot of it. But this one, I think the story was more compelling. Yeah. There was more of an emotional core to it.
Yeah.
Darkman was in it more.
Yeah.
And you got to actually see him being kind of like, you know, having that like longing that he can't have that family because his face is all fucked up. And it's like, you know, they had like a Beauty and the Beast thing. Because at one point, like the drug lord's daughter is in like a little Beauty and the Beast play.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fun. That kid, the kid that was playing the Beast, like his costume was like fucking adorable.
It I got a feeling if so you hard. Watch this part 1, 3, and 2, then it makes a lot more sense.
Well, maybe one day if Shudder leaves it on there, we'll do that. Yeah. Like, see.
I think it makes a lot more
sense. Because now that I'm thinking about it, because I was thinking about it earlier, you know, when I was thinking about what we were going to say about the movie, and I was just kind of like, yeah, I kind of think because this one, the third one, ends kind of the way the first one did. Because, you know, the first one was him kind of like telling his girlfriend, you know, I just, you know, I'm like this, and I don't think that you can ever love me like this. And also, I'm all fucked up, like, emotionally, not just my face. And I don't want to subject you to it. I'm going to be, like, fighting criminals, and it's like, you're going to be in danger. So he kind of, like, lets her go. And the same kind of thing happens at the end of this one, where he basically... he kills the drug lord by throwing him in an industrial shredder.
Oh, yeah, it looked cool.
We were just kind of like, whoa. I was like, are they going there? Are they? Oh, yeah. My goodness, they're going there, okay.
The only thing that, I'm thinking is that part 3, they added the element of the liquid flesh.
Yeah.
So, it couldn't be part 2, because...
Yeah, but that
it
liquid...
would have been in part 3.
You know the liquid flesh shot where they showed like pouring it? That was in the second one.
Yeah, it was.
That was that. That's what I mean about them like reusing a couple minutes of footage. That was in the second one.
He pours it in on the...
Like I said, it wasn't a big deal. It was mostly... There was a sequence where he stole a bunch of money. Because like in the second one too, like he killed a bunch of like gangsters. And then he stole some money like from their deal. And that's what he's using to like fund his research, right? So in the second one, he takes all the money in the box and like puts it down like in the manhole. Because he has like this big underground lair, right? And so there's a sequence in the third one where he's doing the exact same thing. He's taking like a box of money, he's putting it down the manhole, and then he goes down there and gets on his little train car situation. What do they call that? I'm sure it has a name. But where he goes down the track to his lair, and then he goes in his lair and he's doing his, you know, another trial of his skin, and it's like it's not working, and he takes his face off and hangs it up. That's like the same sequence, but it's only like 2 or 3 minutes long. And I can see why they reused it. Like I said, if, you know, it's going to be like a year or two between the movies. No one's going to notice. And it wasn't anything significant. But that was another one of the scenes, too, was there was the scene where he was pouring the liquid on his finger.
And it grew back.
And it grew back. Because at one point, he figured it out.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, they don't know what you're talking about, probably. Okay, he could make synthetic skin, but in 99 minutes in sunlight, it would
photosensitive. And
it wasn't really skin. It was more like a mask, you know. It was a skin-like substance. Well, in the third one, he gets a supercomputer because that doctor held in a gene splicer. The doctor let him use it, and he invented a new one that is a liquid flesh that you can pour it on a burned body part, and it immediately goes to work and regrows the skin, and it reattaches, and it's forever. It's real skin. He had a jar of it, enough to fix himself, but the bad guy stole the data disk, and he didn't have access.
And he didn't have a backup.
He didn't have
always
backup.
Back up your data,
and he couldn't get his hands on the damn. He couldn't remember it all, and he couldn't get his hands on the technology to do it again. And at the end of the movie, the little girl gets her face burned, and he uses it to heal her.
Because her dad's a dick.
Because her dad's a dick. He used it to heal her, and he didn't have enough for himself.
So he just left his face
the way
it was.
So his face was left fucked up, so he has to use the 99-minute mask.
Yeah.
But he could have just poured it on his head.
He'd have been normal again. Yeah. But the fact that, during the final fight, like with the drug lord, the drug lord, he kind of like what does he do? He like knocks something over and he busts up this like a gas pipe or something, and his little girl falls and the steam comes and like burns half her face off.
Yeah.
Not off, but it's like burns half her face like bad.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, when he's able to recover this one little vial, it's about this big of skin, he decides to just give it to her.
Yeah, he shows up at the hospital and the doctor's getting ready to do a skin graft, and he storms in. No, we're not going to do skin grafts. I got something else. And then he tells him, I'm Dr. something or other. And he's like, okay, you take it. And he fixes it with the liquid.
And then the next day, she's good as new.
Good as new. Good as new. And then the story kind of ends on a cliffhanger, like another movie's coming.
Yeah. Because he goes to the mom.
Goes to the mom.
On the roof, and she says, I want to see what your real face looks like.
And he shows it.
And he's like, why? And she's like, because I just do.
Yeah.
And so he lets her see his real face, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, and then he says something, I forgot, and then boom, then the credits happen.
Well, she says, thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's basically like, he says, there's like a voiceover where he says, you know, she was right there, but she was still like a million miles away or something like that.
Right.
And he's like, and I have to go back into the darkness or
whatever. Right, yeah, and ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that's where part two is supposed to be. Return of Duran was supposed to happen right after that. Because that one didn't end on a cliffhanger like that. It ended like it was resolved.
Yeah, because Durant got blown up.
Yeah.
Although he got blown up in the first one, and he still came back.
Yeah.
I think he's made a
gag out of it, never fucking explaining how he came back.
It wasn't even a gag. It was just like a throwaway line. The guy said, I don't know how anybody could survive. Then I said, yeah, you and me both, pal. I don't know how he fucking survived that.
Well, that is a gag.
But yeah, so it's just kind of like...
Hey, you know, movie magic.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I wasn't mad about it, but... Yeah, honestly, I don't know. There was just something about this one that I liked a little bit better than the second one. It was, like, less funny, because I kind of feel like the second one, because Larry Drake was in it and he was such a good villain, he had, like, a lot of really good lines, and so a lot of it was kind of, like, I don't want to go so far as to say comedic, but there was, like, a lot of dark humor in it. This one was a lot more serious, I felt like, but I liked that better, because I don't know. I kind of felt like it was like a good balance between... Because the first one had some humor in it, too, but was mostly...
A lot more Dark Man in it.
Yeah.
Dark Man the Man. Yeah.
That's what they should have called it.
So you get to know what he's all about and all his problems, what his character is like.
Dark Man, what are you all about?
Him talking to other people. He pulls... I bought him more in this as the character in this one than I did the second one.
Yeah.
You know, in Return of Duran, he was a stronger character. It was the writing, you know.
Yeah, and I like I said, it's the same director. I'm assuming. I don't know if it was the same screenwriters or not, because it looked like they just did both of them around the same time. Because they were only like a year apart that they came.
This
out.
This one had more character establishing stuff in it.
Yeah.
Than Return of Duran, he was still just a shadowy guy running around doing stuff.
Yeah.
Saying shit. You don't really know who it is, per se. I mean, you know who it is, but, you know.
Yeah,
you don't see the character development that much.
And I have to say, I liked Jeff Fahey as a villain in this.
Yeah.
I've always liked him as an actor. He's a good character actor. I'd seen him, like I said, in a bunch of other stuff. I remember him from Psycho 3. Mm-hmm. That's where I first saw him, I think. But he's been in fuck tons of other stuff since then. That was actually one of his first movies. But, yeah, he's great. He doesn't, like, there's a couple scenes where he kind of, like, chooses scenery and he's kind of, like, very sardonic, but... Yeah. So it's a different vibe to the Larry Drake character, but I dug that, too. And like I said, I really liked the whole rich drug lord, you know, who's a shit to his family.
Yeah.
And I liked that element to it as well. And
but
like,
he didn't have to be.
He
didn't have to be a shit. He was just, that's the way he was.
And he was, like, just constantly, like, fucking around on his wife and, like, not even embarrassed about it.
No.
Because she just, like...
She knew about it.
She, like, walks in on him, like, banging the doctor. Or they weren't really banging. They were just, like...
They were getting ready to bang.
Yeah. And they still had all their clothes on. But, so she walks in and she's like, you know...
Yeah.
Something about all the affairs she's had. So he's just like, yep.
Yep, that's what it is.
That's the way it is, babe. You know what I mean? But, yeah, he's just really kind of sucks.
But no, I think it's a strong series. Three good movies. The first one is the best one artistically, but they're all good.
Yeah, they're all worth watching.
Part three, I think, is the second best one. So it's
I'm gonna agree with you on that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna agree with you on that. I liked them all, but just something about this one just like edged it out a little bit more for me. I guess. I don't. It's hard for me to say. I guess we've been saying like why that is, but
yeah. But they're all strong movies. They make a good box set.
I like too that they had the other than them also having the opening credits being all the same. I like that they brought the little kitty back.
Yeah,
the little gray kitty from the first. She was in all three movies.
Yeah,
and nothing bad happened to the kitty.
No,
so that was because I was afraid every time I see a cat in a movie. Now I'm just kind of like, oh shit, something bad's gonna happen to that kitty. Well, because it usually does, especially a horror movie. Well, they don't introduce a cat in a horror movie without something terrible happening to the. And I'm still traumatized from fucking Shape of Water. So you know what I mean. Well, the bad shit happened to the cat. Now that was horrible. But I was so bad. Slasher Fred said there was a Darkman TV movie that was originally meant to be a TV show spinoff. Yeah, I heard about that. I can't remember who was in it, though. I remember seeing something about it. And then Jason Hebe Dead said, I had the comic where Darkman meets Ash from the Evil Dead. Yeah, they've done some Darkman comics that came out after. And there was some crossover, which is, like, really funny because Bruce Campbell was supposed to play Darkman.
I think it's great that you have these fucking companies spending millions or billions of dollars for intellectual properties so they could do some superhero. All right. And this guy, he proved that you can just make your own superhero. If it's good, it'll stick. You can make your own superhero.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's like tons of people out there making superheroes that are lame.
Yeah. You just gotta have a good one. You gotta have good names behind it. You gotta have the production's gotta be right. And the tone has to be correct. It has to be kind of artistic. And it has to be the right character for the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just seemed to, this one seemed to like hit at the right time. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a massive success, but it was enough of a success that it made like decent money and still has like a cult following and had, like I said, comic books and shit like that. So.
Yeah. It had a horror angle to something that was basically kind of like The Shadow or Batman or Phantom of the Opera and with a sci-fi element. And it was just kind of had, you know, fucking gangsters, kind of like The Crow. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it did have a little bit of The Crow kind of in there, too.
Yeah.
Not quite as goth as that. But, right. You know.
But they did a good job. And like I said, you know, that you're not going to fucking beat the MCU and make a $1 billion movie with it. But you got three good movies, and they're just, it's an individual character. You know, it's an original character. You could probably get merchandise for this movie. Probably still making merchandise.
You can. It's interesting because I think for a long time, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think I remember reading this, but I think for a long time this was a Universal film, and Universal, they didn't even think about doing merch for this, like figures or anything, until like way later.
Yeah.
And then like a company approached them and said, do you have the rights to do that? And they're like, well, I don't know, probably. Yeah. And he's like, well, can I have them? And they were like, sure. Yeah. So, and then they ended up, like, making some figures. So, like, Universal, they didn't even, like, bother looking into, like, the merch rights for this. Yeah. Because I guess they thought it wasn't a big enough deal.
They don't know geeks.
But, well, I mean, this was, like, many years later. You know, somebody called somebody up and said, hey, do you have, you know, do you have the rights to Darkman? And they said, we don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll have to get back to you. So they had to go through this big, like, legal rigmarole to figure out if they had, like, merch rights for this character. And they're like, oh, yeah, it turns out we do. And so this company ended up, and then they started making, like, a limited edition figure and, like, some other stuff. Yeah. Which, like I said, he'd be that's a cool figure, you know what I mean? Figure, with, like, with his little fucking bandage over his face. And, like I said, I like his teeth. He looks kind of skull.
Yeah.
Skull beats Freddy Krueger type because he's all burned and shit.
Yep.
Slasher Fred says, one of these days you should review the 1995 TV movie Black Scorpion.
TV movie.
Black 1995 Scorpion. Black Scorpion. I thought I'd seen a movie called Black Scorpion on MST, but I thought that was like a really old movie. And I thought that was like a Mexican film, now that I'm thinking about
it. It sounds familiar, but It doesn't.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up and see. I'm sure it's not the one I'm thinking of, because I think the one that was on MST was in black and white, although it's been a long time, and I'm pretty sure it was Mexican. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the only Black Scorpion I think of at the moment. But, yeah, speaking of Phantom of the Opera, that's what the show tomorrow night's going to be about.
Yep.
We're going to talk about, kind of we're going to talk about the novel, we're going to talk about, like,
The author
and like kind of the true story that it was kind of based on.
Was the Phantom of the Opera real? That's going to be the show. Was it real?
Yeah.
Because the author, what's his name? Gaston Leroux, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gaston Leroux swore on his deathbed that he investigated it and that it did happen. And it did fit from what I remember reading it. And I went back through it and listened to some of it. There's audio books on YouTube.
Yeah, we've both been re-listening to the audiobook.
Yeah, which, man, one of them is 9 hours long, and that's the
book. I'm about 3 hours in.
Right. And when I was reading it, I was like, man, they're talking about a serial killer. You know? And he's swearing that it happened, and this is before profiling. Now, I think he wrote this in 1909, or is it 1906? And he's talking about something that happened 20 years prior. So you're talking 1880s, late 1880s. And I think that was before H.H. Holmes, the murder castle. And a lot of the stuff that the Phantom does is kind of like something H.H. Holmes did.
Yeah.
I mean, if they made this up out of their head, just out of their head, I mean, you know, they did a good job of fucking making up a serial killer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Okay, I think it's going to be a good show.
Okay.
It was a good idea.
I thought so.
You know?
Okay.
Because I love all that kind of shit. And then we're going to talk about, like, all the movie adaptations and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. It'll be fun. But, yeah, so... So all of the Darkman movies are on Shudder at the moment. So if you have Shudder, you can go watch them right now. And tell us what you think, which one you like the best. And everybody, thanks for dropping by today. And we will see you guys tomorrow evening for the regular episode 293. So we'll see you guys again tomorrow.